Tuck was just saying, that wonderful story from the Bible of the visit of the Magi to see the new Messiah. It's found in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, and printed in your bulletin. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. I know it's a little bit different, but not so much. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, here we are at the beginning of another new year. Do you feel like the Christmas season is now over? The new year comes in, the old year goes out. What changed? Did anything change? Many people like to take stock or inventory at this time of year. They look at where they may be in life's journey. How did they do in the past year? Did they follow through on last year's resolutions? Or are they making new ones for the coming year? Now, listening to these questions, you are probably asking, what has this got to do with today's scripture? After all, this is the story of the wise men who came searching for a king. They created a big stir in the city of Jerusalem with King Herod and his court by asking where the newborn king of the Jews was. They had seen a star rise from their home city that indicated a new king had been born, one that was the king of the Jews. And they had come all this distance to pay homage and worship this new king. King Herod and all of Jerusalem with him were disturbed by this visit, especially the reason for it. How could they have missed these signs? God hadn't told them to expect a Messiah this time. And that's what upset the priests and the other scribes and leaders. But Herod in particular was interested because he was the current king, and he didn't have any plans at all to share his throne with some Johnny-come-lately that had just been born. After all, he already had the answer to the Roman overlords, and nobody, not anybody, was going to take his place on the throne. King Herod wasn't Jewish to begin with, so he didn't understand this information about a Messiah anyway. So he had to inquire as to where a Messiah might be born. And of course, the answer was, why in Bethlehem, of course. And of course, you also know the rest of the story that we didn't read today, and all the way to its bloody end. Now the Magi were looking ahead. When they saw the star, they came looking for a new king. Now imagine their surprise when they got to Jerusalem and realized that nobody else was aware of what was going on. That they didn't even know a king had been born. They didn't have any idea about any of these events. The Magi then got the information and directions they needed from King Herod, who requested their return after they located the baby king so he could come and worship him. The Magi then journeyed on to Bethlehem. They were overjoyed to see the star was still leading them and lighting their way. Now, I wonder what those same Magi thought when they arrived in small town Bethlehem, Judea, in poverty, and found this young child with a carpenter father and a very young mother. But these Magi had more insight than most of the people that they had around them, because they appeared to see what truly was and not just what appeared to be. They worshiped this child that they found, recognizing more than just an ordinary king, and they brought out the gifts they had. Once they had accomplished their mission, they were warned in a dream not to return back to Herod, so they went home by a different route. And I'm going to be honest, I really hope it was a very hidden one, because King Herod could be awful vindictive when he didn't get his way. Now, are you prepared for 2017? How do you go about your preparations? Do you spend time in introspection and thought, thinking about the events and activities that occurred during this past year? Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't spend a lot of time making resolutions for myself. I just don't. I know some part of that probably is I don't want to set myself up to fail. I'm not saying that I would every time, but I probably would if I hadn't made very many resolutions. And part of it also is because when I think of something or I believe that something in my life needs to be changed, I'm not going to wait around until the new year. I go on and start working on that situation right now. And that part of that, again, is just me. I try to set goals, but I don't always follow through on those goals. But I don't expect what I use for guidance to be for what anybody else wants to use, because, quite frankly, a lot of people like to make resolutions, and I think a lot of people make resolutions work for them. But in order to make resolutions and set goals, I believe we all have to do some looking back to see what we did, how we did it, or that we didn't do it, how successful we were in the attempt. Did I accomplish what I set out to do? If not, then why not? Do I want to try it again this year? Or am I going to give up on that? Now, as I said, I hope you don't see yourself much in what I do, but you may do. I hope each of you has some things. And I hope you are able to follow through on those to a successful conclusion, but again, I'm going to leave that up to you. What I really want to do is spend a little bit of time today to get you to think more about your spiritual side and setting goals for growing in your own Christianity, even if it feels like I'm preaching to the choir. And in my defense, I wrote this sermon and worked on it and developed it before I got this month's newsletter. And guess what? If you've read it, what is John's message on it? It's almost like sometimes I think maybe he and I have been around each other too much. We think along the same lines, because some of his message was about setting these same goals. But at this time of year, do you take stock of your accomplishments for the past year? And as part of that review, a look at what's going on your spiritual life. And this may be a little bit more introspective or deep thinking than many of us really like to do. But did you make any goals or plans for giving, for serving, or for spiritual growth in this past year? How did you do? Now, don't answer that to me. As John would tell you, that's a rhetorical question. I'm not looking for an answer, and I'm not going to hold you to whatever you did. It's between you and God. And I'm not going to check up on you, and nobody else is going to check up on you and remind you of whether you did or whether you didn't. But looking back on it can give us guidance for what and where we need to place emphasis in the coming year. I feel like sometimes it's almost like making a prayer. Lord, open my mind and my heart to see where I need to make changes, the steps I need to take in order to make those changes, the strength, faith, and willingness to follow your lead in making changes. As one old TV show at Christmas time always shows, it's got the winter wizard who has just gone through a life-changing thing and his heart has melted and he don't know what to do. And the advice he has given is that when you're making changes, you just simply have to start by putting one foot in front of the other and keep on plugging one foot in front of the other. And pretty soon, you'll have walked out the door. And that's all that you really need to do. Looking back can tell us where our starting point is, and sometimes, hopefully, the direction that we need to be going. Looking back can also help us judge the progress that we've made in our growth. Paul reminded us that we are all on a spiritual journey, or even sometimes a race. We all set out as spiritual infants with the goal of becoming adults in our spiritual life. Growing and moving along spiritually can be difficult because life always throws so much at us. Satan builds walls and challenges for us. Growth comes as we deal with life's challenges and hardships, or else we grow stagnant. We can decide that it's so hard, it's just too hard. God has given us more than we can bear. Nobody else has it this hard. And sometimes we just refuse to see that sin has crept up on us. Depression may set in, or even apathy. Nobody else has it. Nobody else cares, so why should I? That's when our Christian family and our Christian brothers and sisters can snap us back to reality, to God's reality. Because Jesus is always knocking, softly, quietly. But sometimes we don't hear that little gentle knock or that still, quiet voice. Also, while we may need to look back from time to time, I really and truly believe that looking forward is even more important. There is much speculation about these magi. Who were these men who came to worship the newborn king of the Jews? And if you hadn't really thought about it or given it much thought, these magi must have had great insight, because in those times, nobody loaded up all of the camels, the donkeys, and everything else, and all of their treasure, and went the distance that they went in those perilous times, crossing national borders, just to go see a newborn king that you didn't know anything about. I truly believe that God must have revealed to them just who this different king was going to be, one who demanded worship and gifts. And these men looked at and focused ahead on what was going to happen at the end of the journey, not on what the journey itself would be. When they found this child and Mary, even in modest circumstances, they bowed and worshiped this child. They presented gifts to Jesus, and then they quietly went their way back to their own country. Now, for each of us, now may be the season to look forward as well, to focus on where we want to be at this time next year, or maybe even further out. How will we approach our stewardship? What can we do to help serve others? Maybe I can help at a Habitat House. Maybe I can serve as a mentor to children who need it. Are there service areas inside the church that I can take on? Maybe a committee serve or a Sunday school class. Can I keep myself open to other opportunities for helping my neighbors out? How can I grow spiritually to learn more about God through His Word? How can I improve my worship experience, my prayer life, my devotional time? Are there things that God is calling me to do? Am I receptive to hearing God speak through others to call me closer to God? And this is just a mere sample of the possibilities. You very likely have got other things that you can think about. Remember that Paul told us we are all part of the body of Christ. None of us can do it all or expected to do it all. God doesn't expect us to even try that. But I think there are times when God wants to see us stretch it out a little bit, to try ourselves, to grow a little bit, to attempt some things that we never have before. I'm certain that the journey of these Magi was not something that they had probably ever undertaken before or planned to. What was it that impelled them to take on a journey that was so long through uncertain country and uncertain times, carrying treasures? We will probably never know the answers to these questions that surround the Magi. But we can see the importance to them of making the journey and giving their worship and their gifts to this Christ child. We recognize these men as wise men, and rightfully so. We too should consider how we can best present our gifts to God and to each other, looking forward to a bright and glorious day that will sometime come around. And that itself may be the best resolution that we can make to God and His kingdom this year. Now, most of y'all are of an age that's similar to mine and likely went through the same educational process that I did. So you probably had to study American literature at some time or another. And I still remember one of my favorite stories, the best stories I ever read from doing that, was a story by O. Henry that was written at a time way long before even I was born. You can tell when you will hear some of the numbers and stuff that they were doing in it. And it's called The Gift of the Magi. And it is a story, I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to paraphrase it. It is a story of a young married couple that had not been married long. And just to give you an idea of how much time has changed, this young man named Jim, or James, and his wife lived in a small apartment that cost them $8 a week furnished. The gentleman made $30 a week, except he had been cut back to $20 a week. And it was the day before Christmas. His wife, whose name was Della, had $1.87 with which to buy a Christmas present for her husband. Now, one thing about this couple is they had two very important qualities or gifts or things that they owned that was the most important things that they owned. For the young lady, Della, she had a glorious head of hair that hung down below her knees in a shimmering waterfall of brown. And she was amazingly proud of this head of hair because it was the most glorious head of hair in all Christendom. As often noted, that if a queen had lived next door with all her jewels and crowns, Della's hair would have outshone all of them. And this was the sole wonder that she had. Jim's sole wonder was as he had inherited a gold watch from his father, who inherited it from his father. And it was a beautiful, wonderful gold watch, and it outshone all the treasures of every king who has ever lived. Now, Della was trying to figure out what it was she could give her husband and how she could give it off $1.87. So she thought and she thought, and finally, with it this being close to Christmas, she went down to see a lady that dealt in hair. And she had all to ask her how much she would sell her hair or pay for her hair. And the woman told her, "I will pay you $20. She cut off all of her hair for $20 and went searching, and she found that because her husband's watch that he loved so much and was such a great treasure had a very poor chain on it, she bought a gold chain that would serve for his beautiful watch chain so that he might pull it out and look at it 100 times a day and never be even ashamed of the chain. So she went back home and waited, fearing what her husband was going to say when he got home and saw this glorious head of hair had been cut. And then her husband did come home that evening, and she had supper ready and was waiting on him. And she met him at the door and said, "Jim, please don't be angry." She said, "I had to get you something for Christmas, and I had no money." She paid $21 to get his watch chain. So she's waiting, and she's saying, "Please don't be mad about my hair. Remember, my hair grows fast. It will grow back." She said, "What? Come on in and said, and tell me what you think. You're not saying anything." And Jim said, "Well, let me hand you my gift for Christmas." She opened up the box, and it was a box of two of the most beautiful jeweled hair combs for her glorious hair that you have ever seen. And she said, "Well, Jim, I'm so sorry, but don't worry." She said, "Don't be mad about it. My hair will grow back. It grows very fast. You don't have to worry. It will be back." She says, "Here, you haven't even looked at yours. Here, I bought you with this, what I got for my hair, a beautiful watch chain for the watch that you're so proud of. That this will be glorious on your watch chain." And he said, "Honey, let's go on and eat something." And he says, she went on and she said, "But you haven't even looked at it. Here, put it on your watch." And he said, "Honey, I sold my watch so I could buy you the combs for your hair because I didn't have enough money to do otherwise." And I'm going to read you the last paragraph as best I can, but I get pretty emotional when I start reading this. And I think it's the very key to all of this story, to remind us of our own gifts. The Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the newborn Christ child. They were the first to give Christmas gifts. Being wise, their gifts were doubtless wise ones. And here I have told you the story of two children who were not wise. Each sold the most valuable thing he owned in order to buy a gift for the other. But let me speak a last word to the wise of these days. Of all who give gifts, these two were the most wise. Of all who give and receive gifts, such as they are the wisest. Everywhere, they are the wise ones. They are the Magi. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you carry what is said today, that it bespeak praise to your name, that it uplift your congregation and carry us home. We ask that you watch over us, guide, direct, and protect us as we go forth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.